You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, glad you're with us. And write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, we got the latest on creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden. Two more women now have stepped forward accusing him of his creepy conduct. And I think this is getting to be bigger and bigger. At some point, I want to see Democrats. I started the program yesterday. Where are the I Believers when it comes to the allegations? Gail King at CBS did two interviews of women that say they were raped by the lieutenant governor of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Nothing. Where are all the Kavanaugh I Believers? They're nowhere to be found. They don't care about the issue. Like, they don't care about DACA dreamers. You know, anything that's conservative, it's only if they can bludgeon a political opponent is it worthwhile to them to stand up for women. Pretty unbelievable. All right, we have an investigative report. We've not stopped, and this is holding them accountable. John Solomon, investigative reporter, is going to really dig down deep and really tell us about what I think is pretty amazing, all of what's about to come out. And you say, well, Hannity, you've been telling us, well, I haven't been wrong yet, have I? It just takes longer than I wish. I wish I could press a magic button that says, give us everything Hannity's asking for. You know, 302s, FISA applications, Gang of Eight. Ooh, a lot of good stuff I'm hearing in there. A lot of good stuff. We're going to remind you, I forgot about creepy, crazy Uncle Joe. Apparently, he was upsetting female Secret Service agents because they had this habit. He liked to swim naked. Now, Ethan's a swimmer. You ever swim naked? Or
no, I did not.
You
no.
did not. Okay, just checking. Now, why would he ever do that in front of a stranger? That's even more creepy than I thought. When we...
Uncle Joe Biden, the close talker.
More than a close talker. I mean, you have a female, that's her workplace. Where is the respect for the Secret Service agents, if that's true? Apparently corroborated by a lot of people. That was in Ron Kessler's book, and things that we'll get back to as well. All right, so we live in, now, you've got this extreme, radical, democratic, socialist party. I never thought we'd get to the point where they would ever be advocating for delivering a baby, for making the baby comfortable, and then letting the mother decide whether or not that child gets medical care. You're talking about a breathing,
human soul. This is a baby. This is a child. This is an individual. And the fact that, well, we're going to make the baby comfortable. What do you mean you're going to make the baby comfortable? Until the baby needs to be resuscitated, and if a mom says no, you let that child die? I mean, I can't imagine. Remember, the very same day, House of Delegate, this woman, Tran, proposes this bill, and she's being questioned about this bill. She put in a bill for the cankerworm to protect them. The cankerworm, which evolves into a butterfly of some kind. I'm not a butterfly cankerworm expert. But she's going to defend the cankerworm, but not the baby. And she was the one that was asked, well, what if the birth, what if labor started? What if a woman's dilating? Which means, that means get ready. You know, it's just countdown, and you're going to have a baby in your arms very shortly. And she even supports abortion up to that point. It's nuts. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have ever thought in this country that it would be so widely accepted that, oh, we're gonna get rid of the and repeal the Trump tax cuts, as Kamala Harris said. Oh, and we're going to have Medicare for all, and you can't. It would be illegal to have your own private health care. Illegal. And we're going to have a 90% corporate tax rate. Now, let me tell you what a corporate tax rate would do. It would remove all opportunity in this country. In other words, the millions since Donald Trump has been president that have gotten off of food stamps, gotten out of poverty, that now we, the biggest pay increases in spite of the tax cuts for the rich mantra. Well, the richer middle class have always paid all the taxes. The top 10% pay 70. Top 20% pays over 90. Bottom 50% paid next to nothing in terms of federal income taxes. So we have redistribution. We're spending money like crazy. Who would have thought that they're going to offer a program? And then Elizabeth Warren wants a wealth tax. What's a wealth tax? That's money you've already been taxed on. Then they come back and they say, well, wait a minute, you saved too much. We want another chunk, another bite of the apple. We want to take more of your money. You didn't pay enough taxes. Well, that would be legislating, legalizing government stealing, because basically that gives them a license to steal from you. As if they're not robbing us blind as it is. And don't worry, on the day you die, your federal government's going to come in and they're going to take 40% of whatever you have left on top of that. And then if you live in New York State, they get 10% of your estate. Well, why can't I give it to a charity or my kids or people that I care about? What is this? How do we become this country where that's acceptable? And we just take it. And I can't believe that. And I'm going to get to Republicans being so weak. It's pathetic. And now we've got Democrats really, really, really pushing hard. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to get. So let me explain what that means. And I went through the history of this. I won't go back to the Constitutional Convention as I did last time. But what that means is this. High population centers, New York City, 9-1 extreme radical socialist Democrats. I mean, what other city would elect, you know, Comrade Bill de Blasio or Comrade Bloomberg, who tries to portray himself as a moderate? He's not. Bloomberg, he just is less crazy or comes off less crazy than the other people. But don't worry, if you're in a New York restaurant to this day, you're not going to see salt on your table. You've got to request it. I finally got to the point that I ordered packets of salt and I put them in my bag. This way I don't have to ask somebody for salt. I'm like sneaking. One day they're going to start arresting me because I'm not eating any food in my life without salt. Sorry. Bad habit. I got it. My father was a salt addict. I'm a salt addict. One of my kids is a salt addict. It's kind of like in your DNA. There's nothing I can eat.
Can we talk about what you do?
Go ahead.
So Sean, we buy him big barrels of pretzels, you know, the long rod pretzels that have all the salt on.
All the salt on. What do I do?
And Sean will not eat the pretzel.
I don't eat the pretzel.
He will eat the salt.
No, I just suck the salt off him.
Of the pretzel.
Right.
Then he throws the rod out.
Throw the rod out.
And the container is empty, the bottom of the container.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
filled with that rock salt.
I love that.
Love
that rock salt, yes.
And he literally puts his finger in there and eats the salt.
Well, first I lick my finger and then I put...
disgusting.
And then I put it on my... Well, what am I supposed to do? Take a little pinch out of there? No, I lick it and then my whole finger...
Oh, no, you make sure there's nothing left.
Usually, I mean, if I can...
Special. It's a special habit. Special.
I don't think it's special. I think a lot of people like salt. I just don't...
Meek.
Why does my government have to tell me whether I can have salt or no salt?
I know. I'm right here. I'll do it for them.
And I'm going to tell you another thing. It's smart to wear a seatbelt. But I don't need my government telling me to put on a seatbelt.
Well, yeah, if we're driving with you.
Oh, and if you buy a car, not only do they enforce the seatbelt... Beep, 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 just shut it off. And then the dealer is not allowed legally to shut it off. So I'll find somebody that I know to break the law. If not, I'll figure it out myself. And all of a sudden, the beep, 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 I don't want to hear it. My kids yell at me. Everybody yells at me. Why don't you wear your seatbelt? I don't like wearing my seatbelt. I drive better without it. Just saying. True. I'd advise everybody else to wear their seatbelt. Always obey the laws. And this is just done for pure entertaining purposes. I do obey the law. I don't have a mechanic break the law and take out the beep, 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 beep. Unbelievable. I have to put disclaimers in.
They'd have Mueller investigate you if that were true.
Yeah. Probably I colluded with a Russian mechanic that took out my beeps. I guarantee you that's probably what they're thinking.
No, that's funny.
I found a Russian mechanic that didn't know the New York State law.
You want to beep again?
All right, so why do they want to get rid of the Electoral College? Clearly.
Yeah, compromise material. Hold on.
What is the nature of the compromising material?
Naked Trump.
Does Putin know?
Yeah, of course Putin know.
Can you give me the pictures?
This is the cowardly Schiff who won't come on this program. We have to start inviting Nadler on the program.
And we also know who was a mediator between Trump and Russian government. Met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was a Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Okupnik, who met with Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn.
Brighton Beach.
An official Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
it's a special, it's a Russian district in
Russian district, I guess.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things.
Many things.
The most interesting thing is they used a special password before their meetings.
Collusion.
They met each other, they said, weather is good on Deribasovskaya.
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa. Did you hear?
Yes, I did. So it's a street in Odessa.
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya.
Deribasovskaya.
Mm-hmm.
Skaya. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details on
Yes. And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach. Again.
This idiot is taking all this down.
Kupnik told Flynn that all those compromising materials will never be released if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
What is the nature?
Okay. Well, obviously, we would welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings.
Ooh, please.
So we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
The cowardly Schiff colluding with a Russian. Turns out it was a Russian. A Russian hoaxer. Totally sucking. What is the nature of the compromise?
Well, naked Trump. Naked Trump.
And I'm like, and has Vladimir seen them? Yes, but of course. What a dope. No wonder this idiot won't come on our show. All right, but we got a lot to get to. And then they want to, of course, they want to stack the Supreme Court.
We got a little diversion. You know, I actually, when I called my mechanic and asked, he happened to be from Russia. And I said, would you be able to take out the beep, 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 beep in my car? And he goes, the nature of the problem. I want the beep, beep, beep to go away. Of course. We need naked Trump picture first. You know Donald Trump, right? See, I read the paper. You know Donald Trump. You need a naked picture of Trump. And we'll do that. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number you want to... I'm really losing it today. You guys are all nuts in there laughing. But it's true. This is how nuts they are. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/switchamerica. That's JUUL.com/switchamerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/switchamerica. All right, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe just released this on Twitter. Let's listen in. You got it there, Ethione. He's not even ready. Play it. You can't. Why can't you play it? I just said, crank it up. You said, go right to
it. I said.
You only have 2 minutes. And now he's not ready to play it. Where's Jason when we need him? Oh, that's so mean.
You say you're sorry right now.
All right, no, sorry.
Grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. And whether they're women, men, young, old, it's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening. And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And so it's just who I am. And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I get it. I hear what they're saying.
All right, we're gonna play this in its entirety when we get back. But you know, he's just been on the Anita Hill apology tour. Then I guess we're gonna have the I'm against integration apology tour. Oh yeah, and I'm sorry that I said, man, this is a storybook. First African American, bright and clean and articulate, and you can't work at a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. And my state's a slave state. He's got a lot of work to do. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. All right, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe just released this statement. He's got two more accusers out there. What is he going to do then about Anita Hill not supporting integration? He cannot stop the brain of his from the dumb stuff he says every day. And, is anyone ever going to ask him if he ever used locker room talk? I wonder what his answer to that's going to be. Because I have a pretty good suspicion in my head where I think he probably has, And then we got the story of creepy Uncle Joe swimming naked in front of Secret Service agents as vice president. I mean, who does this? Anyway, here's his tape just released.
Folks, in the coming month, I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and I'll always be direct with you. But today, I want to talk about gestures of support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men that have made them uncomfortable. And I always try to be, in my career, I've always tried to make a human connection. That's my responsibility, I think. I shake hands. I hug people. I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. And whether they're women, men, young, old, it's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening.
And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I've found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And so it's just who I am. And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it. But I'll always believe governing, quite frankly, life for that matter, is about connecting with people. That won't change, but I will be more mindful and respectful of people's personal space. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will.
Okay, crazy Uncle Joe. He's got a long way to go. We now have two more women who have accused Biden. Anyway, and... Yeah, it gets really even more strange. I mean, I told you, we talk about the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, these are serious charges. This is not, you know, in your grill, personal space, in your face, unwanted touching, holding, smelling, rubbing noses. I mean, can you imagine rubbing another person's nose? I mean, it's, oh. Whole thing creeps me out, and he is creepy, and he's nuts. I mean, he's really nuts. Got this, these two women that have come out, and, you know, they're saying the same thing. We now have, he's determined to run anyway, apparently. You have a writer telling the New York Times that she had an uncomfortable encounter with Biden in Minneapolis in 2012. When Biden and his top advisors were telling backers and donors that he was still expected to enter the presidential race after Easter, The Hill reported. Anyway, he's taking this all very seriously, still committed to running. He's got a lot of other problems. You know, Nancy Pelosi, I'm a member of the Straight Arm Club. I just pretend that you have a cold and I have a cold. That's what he's She's advising Biden to tell everybody all the time, I have a cold. Pretend you have a cold. Keep your distance. Join the Straight Arm Club. Wow. Wonder if Donald Trump did this and all those videos of Donald Trump and kissing people on the lips, invading personal space. Remember when they had the top fold New York Times article about his ex-girlfriend, Carrie Prejean was mentioned in that article. I started interviewing the women one by one. They said, none of this is true. New York Times doing everything they could do to elect Hillary back then. So you have two more people now talk about the encounter. 2012 incident, writer DJ Hill said Biden put his hand on her shoulder, then dropped it down her back in a way that made her very uncomfortable. While Hill and her husband were posing for pictures with him at a fundraiser in Minneapolis, she said her husband noticed the movement, made a joke about it. Only he knows his intent, he told the Times, before saying, if something makes you feel uncomfortable, you have to be able to say it. In the second incident, a former college student, Caitlin Caruso, told the paper that Biden rested his hand on her thigh, even as she squirmed in her seat, showing discomfort, and hugged her just a little bit too long at an event on, of all things, sexual assault at the University of Nevada, Vegas. Told the paper that she was 19 at the time and had, you know, recounted her own story of sexual assault at that event. Pretend you have a cold. That's what we're teaching Crazy Uncle Joe. Pretend you have a cold. Wow, that's a great idea. President now has weighed in. They're blaming Bernie Sanders and right-wing trolls for this information. right wing. Who's right wing here? Anyway, Gillibrand won't say anything. She's another one of the I believers. And a PAC has now released a creepy Joe Biden ad. Then you got the issue we'll get into at the top of the next hour with John Solomon. He has a real issue with his son and Ukrainian officials there, because 2 years after leaving office, he couldn't resist the temptation to brag to an audience of a foreign policy specialist about the time as vice president that he strong-armed Ukraine into firing their top prosecutor. In his own words, and the video exists. Maybe we'll bring this on Hannity tonight. Cameras rolling. Biden described how he threatened the Ukrainian president at the time, Poroshenko, in March of 2016, that the Obama administration would pull $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees, sending the former Soviet republic toward insolvency if it didn't immediately fire the prosecutor, General Viktor Shokin. I said, you're not getting the billion, and I'm going to be leaving here, and I think the next about 6 hours. All right, son of a bee, he got fired. There you go. And they put in place someone who was, quote, solid at the time. Now, here's the problem. He's not telling you the prosecutor was investigating his son, who was on Air Force Two, making millions and millions of dollars. We're going to break that investigative reporter, John Solomon, coming up on that part. I know that there's just this massive double standard. And that is the whole sick part of all this. Now, to go to the issue of Biden swimming naked, this is from U.S. News back in August of 2014. Headline, Biden swims naked, upsetting female Secret Service agents, according to a book. Anyway, the author tells U.S. News the book is well-reported, balanced. Anyway, it was written by Ronald Kessler. Never heard a bad word about Ronald Kessler. We've interviewed him in the past about, he writes a lot of books. And anyway, it's the first family detail, and the book goes into a long explanation. Agents say that, you know, whether at the vice president's residence in Delaware, Biden has a habit of swimming in his pool nude. And then he says female Secret Service agents find that offensive. Well, I think anybody would find that offensive. I don't want to. If I'm a Secret Service agent, I'm not wanting to. What, you don't care? You don't give a flying rip, do you? I don't want to watch a naked anybody swim. Put your bathing suit on. I know most people don't really wear bathing suits these days, but I'm not one of those beach people anyway. I can't sit there for hours and hours. There are people that can sit on the beach all day. I don't know how they do it. I've tried. You know, if I'm not playing beach football, or if I'm not playing, you know, with my son and saying, here.
You also have the patience of a gnat.
It's not that.
Oh, it's so that.
Who wants to sit in the blazing hot sun?
You can't sit anywhere. You could barely sit here. If I didn't give you a microphone, you'd be out of here.
I'd be standing.
We stand a lot.
I used to stand more, but I still stand when I do the radio show a lot. And, you know, they got these standing desks now, and you can have a little treadmill underneath it, and you can kind of walk at a really slow pace.
I dare you to put one of those in your studio.
Well, go ahead and install it. I'll use it.
I
can't get out of breath when I'm on the air. That wouldn't be.
You're a ninja now. That should be nothing for you.
Let Linda control the speed.
Yeah. And then she'll start doing a. Hang on.
Jose Azueta. Oh, Mr. President.
Yeah, Mr. President. Oh.
Oh, there's such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Gracious God, thank you so much.
Can't believe.
I love that guy.
I love these classics. I'll tell you, though, the favorite of all time is the Bernie Meltdown Girl. Remember.
This has got to be a joke. I need an ambulance right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that takes the cake of any audio.
This is a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to f-ing kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better f-ing fix this right now. I literally am going to die.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty crazy. All right, so Biden likes to be revealed as Everyday Joe, an unarmed, unnamed agent told Ron Kessler. But the reality is no agent wants to go on his detail because, well, Biden makes agents' lives so tough. In addition to allegedly skinny dipping, agents are reportedly irritated by frequent last-minute trips to Delaware. Biden's spokesperson would not address the claims on the record. A spokesperson for the Secret Service did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Kessler worked, you know, for many mainstream publications, worked for more than a decade over at the Washington Post, and was the chief Washington correspondent at Newsmax, and his reporting has won 2 George Polk Awards. I don't know if he's won any since. And so, you know, remember in 2012, he tipped off the Post that Secret Service agents had been recalled from Colombia for visiting prostitutes ahead of a presidential visit. That was his scoop. Agents say whether at the vice president's residence, at his home in Delaware, but this habit of, I mean, who would want to do that? I mean, it's unbelievable. I know the left attacks Kessler, but, you know, he worked for the Washington Post. What else do you want to say? And does anyone doubt that's true? I don't. The problem is the mindset. I mean, he's now saying he's going to change. But he just spent 2 weeks apologizing for Anita Hill. Okay, he's going to change on that. When is the, well, I don't support integration apology tour come? And when... You know what Biden's biggest problem is, though? If I was Donald Trump and I'm running against Joe Biden, I would ram literally, verbally down their throat every day of his campaign, Obama Biden's track record. That's it. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago after 8 years of that disaster?
Do you really believe anybody who's been on the planet for 76 years is going to change?
I believe that people can change.
Do I? Oh, I don't.
Hang on. I believe people can change, but the hardest thing about changing for people is acknowledging that they're wrong, in my opinion. And I think to admit truth, why do you think so many people want to do drugs and drink themselves half to death? You know, they can't live with themselves, and they numb themselves to who they are.
They bury their truth because they can't change.
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty introspective. I know when I'm right and wrong every time, every single time. I know.
Recognizing right and wrong and changing are different.
Right. But, I end up feeling so horrible about myself that it causes me to change.
Right. But you don't have to change. When you make a mistake, that's an error. You realize it. You move on. Right. Wrong.
Well, I tell
changing
my kids.
Means you have a pattern of behavior like Biden. That's a pattern of behavior over 76 years.
Well, what I say is, all right, that's a mistake the first time. Now you're making a choice. Now you've...
Exactly. Exactly right.
Right. But you make the choice, you live with the consequences. Life is about consequences for actions. It's like, for example, we haven't had to fire anybody really on this program. People fire themselves. We really don't fire people. I've never fired anybody. Everybody will be given a fair opportunity to fix whatever needs to be fixing, Ethan.
Oh. You better stop it right now because you're dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
And I'm about to call you out on air.
Call me out on air.
He's totally right and you're totally wrong.
Oh, well, Ethan knows what we
You know, when
him.
You make a mistake, you should apologize and acknowledge your mistake because now you're making a choice.
You're such a
What do you
nice
want to
person.
Say? I got the bleep button ready, my friend.
No, all right. We love everybody on our staff. They know it.
On multiple occasions, I have asked Attorney General Barr to work with us to go to the court and obtain access to materials the department deems covered by Rule 6E. He has so far refused. I will give him time to change his mind. But if we cannot reach an accommodation, then we will have no choice but to issue subpoenas for these materials. And if the department still refuses, then it should be up to a judge, not the president and not his political appointee, to decide whether or not it is appropriate for the committee to review the complete record.
This is the problem we're seeing right now. But you know something? A different political landscape compels the chairman to adopt new standards of fairness, ignoring existing law and demanding material he once considered unfair to release to be released. As much as the chairman and I may want to view this material, it is fundamental underpinning of our justice system and the law we cannot. In the face of laws and rules he finds inconvenient, the chairman demands our nation's top law enforcement officer to break the rules and the regulations and the law. This is reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's disingenuous.
All right, that was Doug Collins. Thanks to Doug, we're actually getting some transparency. These behind-the-scenes, behind-closed-doors interviews that we have been getting, you know, Strzok, Page, Bruce, Nelly, Orr, McCain's aide, and others, and lots more to come that will come cascading in. So interesting. Nadler didn't want the Star Report to come out. Just such a political hack. All right, anyway, glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. And, you think of it doesn't matter 9 months of an investigation of the FBI into collusion. Even Page, Strzok, there's no there. Even, we had the Nunes, the House Intelligence Committee. Then we had a bipartisan Senate committee. Then you get the Mueller report. No collusion, even quoting the report. We demand the full report. Well, the problem is that it was the Democrats insisting, over the old, independent counsel rules that they eliminated after the Clinton impeachment. They're the ones that insisted they change the rules, that pull back power from any special prosecutor appointed and leave it in the hands of Department of Justice officials and by the sole discretion of the Attorney General. He doesn't have to release any of this. Now, Alan Dershowitz, by the way, after hearing that Nadler, what the idiot that he is, make these comments, Nadler's going to lose in court. So I say they should take it to court. Dershowitz said there's no legal basis for the Attorney General William Barr to release Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report. Even if Barr were hypothetically to refuse to issue anything, there would be no legal basis for a court to compel him to do that. Wow. Now, we have all the other documents that have yet to be released, and we got into this with Papadopoulos yesterday. I'm telling you that a lot of people don't want the information that Donald Trump would declassify, including the FISA applications and 302 information and also Gang of Eight information. And anyway, John Solomon joins us about this and another story about Joe Biden. We're going to break here in a second. You call them the five buckets. Is it five or six buckets now? I don't even know how many buckets.
Yeah, we keep getting more buckets, but it's still five buckets that the president is expected to declassify. And they're essential because they're going to reveal multiple things. One is just how abusive the
FBI process was. Why don't you tell everybody what the buckets are and then tell us why they're important.
Absolutely. So there is the 302 interview reports of Bruce Orr, who worked as an intermediary between Christopher Steele and the FBI, feeding information from the Clinton-funded opposition research project on Donald Trump to the FBI, particularly after the FBI fired Steele for inappropriate behavior or acted as a backdoor that continued to file information into there. Then there is the original FISA warrant, and there are 12 pages that Devin Nunes' staff has identified as critical, that when we see those pages, we'll see what was omitted in exculpatory information. Then there is perhaps the most important of all of the buckets, I'm told, is a documents that went with a briefing last summer to the Gang of Eight, the top eight leaders in the intelligence committees and leadership of the House, both Republicans and Democrats. And in those briefings, we were told the FBI came clean, the Justice Department came clean about significant flaws in the original case, and those debriefing documents can be essential to us. And then we have a trail of FBI emails that Devin Nunes identified not that long ago that show that the FBI knew prior to getting the FISA warrant that both Christopher Steele was on the Clinton payroll and that he might have talked to the media, both of which would have been disqualifiers. And they went ahead, proceeded with the first FISA, and then tried to pull slow walk the court into finding out just how many problems there were with Christopher Steele. So those are the most essential of the buckets of dockets that we have.
Unbelievable. All right. And all of that's going to come out. But, Dershowitz has not been wrong on any of this.
It's funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of legal experts, and I think every legal expert I've talked to, Democrat, Republican, think that the Democrats have a very high hurdle and that it's unlikely that they're going to succeed. So if they're going to go to court to do this, and what they're really doing is creating a distraction from what the ultimate findings of the report are. They want to try to extend the mystery, suggest there's something being hidden in this because the real facts don't support the narrative that they had for 2 years. But almost every legal expert I've talked to in the last 2 days, far left, far right, right down the middle, say that it's almost impossible for the Democrats to prevail in court on this.
John Solomon of The Hill is with us, who now for over 2 years has been part of our ensemble cast, breaking story after story after story, exposing the deep state, this systematic abuse of power, well, systemic, and also corruption scandal. Before I get to the Biden issue, you know, you were the one that kind of predicted, Mueller report's going to be a dud. I know the Democrats want this badly. Barr did quote the Mueller report as it relates to collusion. That's off the table completely. Well, he didn't take a stand on the issue of obstruction. Now, we got to start with a few things. Number one, if there's no underlying crime, what are you obstructing? Second, I'm told, I would expect that most of the, quote, obstruction would be everything that we already know. Witch hunt, witch hunt, witch hunt, firing of Comey. But even Comey says he could be fired for any reason or no reason. That's just a fact. But I've got to believe Democrats are just hoping and praying that there's a nugget or two in there that say, this is horrible. I mean, you got cowardly Schiff out there today and he's saying, I really have the evidence this time, and it's coming.
Yes, it's like waiting for Godot every time he says.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, if let's say it all gets released, you know, obviously you have to protect sources and methods. Obviously, that's you have to protect innocent people's names might be mentioned in this. But beyond that, what are the Democrats hoping that they can cling to in this?
Well, they'll probably listen. I think in the obstruction section of the report, based on the reporting I've done over several weeks, there's going to be a set of facts or a timetable of who President Trump talked to about his concerns about the Flynn investigation, the Russia investigation, and firing Comey. And, you know, there'll be some new people that might be identified in that report, things that maybe the former chief of staff, Ryan Priebus, said, or the former White House counsel that was there. And I think Don McGahn. And I think the Democrats are hoping to find one nugget of a quote, right, that they can hang a whole new set of hearings on. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter legally. It's been determined that there was no obstruction, and there's been determined.
But they really want, though, is they want to impeach the president. And they'll find any reason. What, you know, they'll make it up if they have to, because they have made most of this up for 2 years without any evidence. So really, that's what Democrats want to do. Right.
I mean, and if not impeach him, then I think the second thing they might want to do is just keep getting that free negative advertising that CNN and MSNBC and The New York Times and The Washington Post have done, which is keep suggesting Donald Trump has a problem, even in the face of evidence that says he doesn't, because that's a great political attack ad that you don't have to pay for. You pay for it with the American taxpayers' dollars. Right. They pay for all these investigations. And we keep suggesting there's something there, even though there's now been three investigations that said there's nothing there. I think it's just a continuation of the campaign from 2016, and now instead of political campaigns paying for it, we, the American taxpayers, are paying for a negative political ad.
And at what point do those that spent hours and hours testifying, I talked to Papadopoulos yesterday, and he said, I'm going to go back and I'm saying, why go back and testify? I said, if you contradict one line from your previous testimony from 2 years ago, I said, you're now, they're going to hold your life in their hands because it's a perjury trap. I said, unless you get immunity, I wouldn't go testify to anybody. At some point, this becomes harassment, governmental harassment, because they're only going to ask the same questions, you know, rephrase it and hope that you say something that contradicts something you said 2 years ago. God only remembers what I said 2 seconds ago. Never mind 2 years ago.
It's the real danger. It's the real danger of going back and testifying this late in the investigation. Unless there's some critical reason, I think most defense lawyers would advise their clients, don't go there, do not go there at all. You know, there's another set of...
All right, but what happens if you don't go there? You plead the Fifth. You have a right to plead the Fifth.
That's right.
All right, so then what, are they going to hold everybody in contempt? And what does that mean?
Yeah, and listen, many of these people can argue, hey, I already gave my account once. Why am I being called back a second time? I spent a time. And that goes to a very important point. There's been something that's been slow walked for 6 months, Sean, that we don't talk much about. And I want to talk about it because I'm going to write a column on this soon. DNI Coates, Dan Coates, was given all the transcripts from the original House Intelligence Committee investigations last September. Think about all the things in history that have happened since then. The president's had summits with North Korea. There's been multiple Brexit votes, an election, a change of guard in the House. And yet the DNI has not been able to get those documents reviewed out there. If we did, we would hear for the first time what John Brennan said, what James Clapper said, what the former UN ambassador said about all those unmaskings that were under her name. We've been, the intelligence community has been slow walking those releases. Those documents may provide some of the most important transparency that we can get in this beyond what the president's five buckets to declassify are already been identified. And for some reason, the president's own DNI hasn't got it done. It shouldn't take 6 months to review transcripts and get them to the American public.
All right, I got to take a break. More with John Solomon of The Hill, 800-941. Sean, we're going to get to the his column on, Crazy Uncle Joe and some of the financial shenanigans he's involved in next. As we continue, we got an amazing Hannity tonight. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Bill O'Reilly is coming up later in the program and much more. All right, as we continue with The Hill's John Solomon, who's with us, investigative reporter. All right, so we got two new Biden accusers, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe. We have Pelosi advising Joe Biden, pretend you have a cold when you're with women. President now getting in on the fun, I guess. Gillibrand refuses to call on Biden to leave the presidential race. They're such hypocrites. An even bigger issue, oh, yeah, we got the old column of him swimming naked, upsetting female Secret Service agents. That was out in a new book. But you have this issue of the Ukraine, and I only have a couple of minutes left. I didn't mean to get as distracted as I did, but why don't you tell everybody about this problem, and there's also a China problem.
Yeah, listen, I think the most important thing that I've worked on in the last couple of weeks that really raised my eyebrows is the fact that Joe Biden used a U.S. policy known as loan guarantees to a country that needed them in order to survive, Ukraine, to force that country to fire its chief prosecutor, its attorney general, essentially, because that prosecutor was looking at his son's company, Burisma. And in fact, I'd identified his son, Hunter Biden, as someone they wanted to interview in a criminal investigation about the removal of money from the company. This is a Ukrainian company, an internal matter in a country that's sovereign. And Joe Biden went over by his own words and a videotape I have and said, I got the son of a prosecutor fired because I didn't like him. Well, he didn't tell the audience. Part of the reason he probably didn't like him was that prosecutor was investigating his own son at that time. And the firing of that prosecutor resulted in the ending of that investigation. And we didn't know much about it until a few weeks ago when Ukrainian authorities announced they've reopened the probe. And they're now looking at this company, Burisma, Hunter Biden, and the political pressure that Joe Biden exerted to get the original prosecutor fired in the case.
So 2 years after leaving office, and again, you go back to the line that you just used here. Well, son of a got fired. that ended the investigation. Yeah. And you point out about a half a dozen Ukrainian officials confirming Biden's account. You have a tape of it.
Yes, yeah. The Joe Biden boasted he did this. The only thing he didn't tell the audience the day he boasted was that his son was under investigation by the very prosecutor he got fired. Just imagine this. This is like, would have been like President Trump firing Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions was looking at his son, Don Jr. We would all been aflame. CNN would have been nonstop 24/7 coverage. This actually happened, and it happened in a sovereign country where the U.S. shouldn't be dictating other countries' investigations. And when you look at what his son got. His company got over $3 million of payments out of Ukraine. At the same time, his dad, Joe Biden, the vice president, was the Ukraine policy chief for the United States. There's a lot of issues of conflict of interest, and then there's the question of being pressured to shut down an investigation. I think there's going to be a lot more coming out of this in Ukraine in the next few weeks.
All right. We're going to have more on this on Hannity as well. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. John Solomon, investigative reporter with The Hill, has broken so many stories in the last 2 years. I mean, maybe when The Washington Post, The New York Times give back their Pulitzers on their hoax stories, maybe you'll get one of them. Certainly would be deserved. All right, when we come back, this is real, what's happening at the border. We'll talk to two congressmen and Bill O'Reilly straight ahead.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis.
This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis.
Folks, the president has manufactured one heck of a political crisis for himself.
Donald Trump is manufacturing a national security crisis.
You will hear them say is that this is a manufactured crisis. It's not a national security crisis.
The big scam of the whole address was that there's a crisis. There's not a crisis.
The notion that we have a crisis there, a security crisis, is absolute nonsense.
It remains a Seinfeld shutdown.
All about nothing.
What happens when there is a real crisis, when there is a real emergency? Does he take to the airwaves? Do we give him the airwaves? Do we believe him?
There is not a crisis at the border. It's a manufactured crisis for the president to get a political win.
He's determined to convince you there is a crisis at the border, even though an intelligence official tells CNN, quote, no one is saying this is a crisis except them.
Okay, it's a real crisis. As a matter of fact, it is now worse than it's ever been. One of the reasons, and nobody kind of puts this together, is that the president, while all this has been going on, continues to repair and build more new wall. And I know it was not widely reported, but the president, well, he was not overridden with his veto. Because you have some weak, pathetic Republicans that never want to fight for anything, which is just unreal. And if you watched over the weekend, you see three countries now are not getting any more U.S. aid, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Why? Because they're not helping, as probably the biggest migrant caravan is now moving towards the country. The president's threatened to close the border if necessary. You know, you listen to some of the Democratic candidates, like Democratic presidential candidate Julian Castro, demanding to grant millions amnesty and gut immigration enforcement. You notice everything on the left now has gone so radical, hard left. You can't just be, quote, pro-choice. No, you got to be now pro-infanticide. We'll support abortion, well, even after birth, according to the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Well, even during the birthing process, sure. House of Delegates, what was her name? Kathy Tran was the one that said that. On the same day she put forward a bill to protect butterflies or canker worms that become butterflies of some kind. I mean, it's like a canker sore. I'd never heard of the canker worms, but she put in a bill to protect them. On the same day, she put in the bill.
Which is kind of odd if you think about it, because that's the canker worm when they're infants, when they're in their conceptual stage before they're butterflies.
That's really sick.
That's synonymous.
She's the one that testified, if you remember. Oh, yeah, no. It's we. You can have abortion, she said. Even, well, what if dilation has begun? Labor's begun. Yeah, my bill would allow that, absolutely. And then the governor saying, well, first we deliver the baby and make sure the baby's comfortable. There's so much compassion in that line. Deliver the baby, make sure the baby's comfortable. Then the mother decides whether or not the kid lives or dies. At that point, it's murder. At that point, you have a living, breathing human being and you're not offering medical assistance. That would be infanticide. That would be murder. Unbelievable. We see everything. We've talked about everything that's happening now. We have reports even today, migrants, the level of people coming in are massive. It's unsustainable. You know, Border Patrol expected to make 100,000 apprehensions this month alone. Majority of those taken into custody, family units, some have accompanied minors. The volume is unsustainable now for Border Patrol. Why? Because they know the border is about to be shut. President got a lot more than he would have gotten had the Democrats fulfilled their promises to Dreamers. And they only support the border wall in Obama's second term. But we got 90% of our heroin. Well, that's crossing that southern border. And we have nearly 300 deaths each and every week in this country. Then we have fentanyl on top of it, you know, because you have the Democratic Party saying it's a manufactured crisis. Then you have the media, the rage Trump media mob saying the same thing. They can't even come up with their own words. They're so tied together. Anyway, so the question is, well, what are we going to do about all of this? Anyway, joining us now is Congressman McClintock. California has been dealing with this issue for years. He's with their 4th District, and Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona's 5th District. And you know, the president may, I'm glad he said no to funding and aid to these countries that are doing nothing to stop these migrant caravans from forming and leaving and heading into our country. And if Mexico's not careful, and I know, by the way, the big, you know what the media was covering? Well, we might not have avocados in 4 weeks. Well, I don't like avocados. I don't give a rip about avocados. Linda likes avocados. You know, everyone in there likes avocados. I don't like avocados. I look at them, and they're just mushy and disgusting to me. Anyway, Congressman McClintock, thank you for being with us. Congressman Biggs, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Sean.
You guys like avocados or not?
I love avocados, but I love my country more.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. It's as bad as it's ever been. Do you agree with me, Congressman McClintock, that a lot of this is because now the president has $9 billion more? That's money that has been identified that wasn't spent, reallocated from the Defense Department.
Oh, I think that's a big part of it. Look, all those sound clips that you played of the Democrats saying there's no crisis, they know there's a crisis. They're not blind. They're not stupid. They know exactly what's going on the border. The problem is they like it. It fits their scenario to hold on to power, and that is the only they've alienated most of the American public. They understand that their only path to power in the future depends upon importing a very dependent, impoverished population that has no attachment to American values or traditions and is susceptible, highly susceptible, to every empty promise the socialists make. That is the project, and it is well underway.
What are your thoughts, Congressman Biggs, on this? Obviously, it impacts Arizona, California, all our southern border states.
Yeah, you know, Sean, Tom is exactly right. Our Democrat friends, they know they're lying when they say there's no crisis. And it's getting worse by the minute. I mean, the fact that Jay Johnson would come out and say that he has no idea how he would handle such a thing. I mean, the reality is President Trump's trying to deal with a stacked deck. The Democrats won't move anything to fix the asylum laws. And that's undergirding all of this non-deterrence that we have. It's an incentive now. The fact that people know that it may be a closing window because of the fence. So that accelerates this. And we're going to have the highest number of apprehensions this year that we've seen in I don't know how many years, well over a decade. And that's just apprehensions. There's going to be another 1 million to 2 million people who come in who we don't even know who they are. And that doesn't include all the drugs, particularly fentanyl, that's coming across the Arizona border in just enormous amounts that could kill half the population.
Where I live in Long Island, I told the story about a killing in New Jersey of an illegal immigrant. It's amazing to me that we have angel moms and dads outside of Nancy Pelosi's office. She's in the office, and she won't even come out and talk to these parents that can tell their stories, and we have featured many of them on the program. And, well, we had another murder, young person in New Jersey last week, where I grew up in Long Island, New York. You've got an admitted MS-13 gang member who had been thrown out of the country after killing a man. I lived in Huntington in Long Island, and this was back in, he had been deported in 2017 after he was convicted of manslaughter, did time for the fatal stabbing of a man in May of 2000 outside of a Huntington deli, and he's back in Long Island again. He snuck right back into the country. Now, I know that's not the 98% of people that probably just want what we take for granted every day, freedom and liberty and a chance for a better life for their families. But when you add up the numbers and you look at the number of deaths from the drugs coming across the border from the cartels, and then you add up the violent illegal alien criminals and homicides and sexual assaults and violent assaults, these are real people, real families, real tragedy, real death, real suffering.
And it's being encouraged by these sanctuary laws that the Democrats are imposing in states like California. Again, I think they know exactly what they're doing, but they're serving for them a much bigger purpose, and that is to perpetuate their political power because they've alienated the American people.
Well, and you're going to say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when I talk to Border Patrol agents, they're telling me, especially long-term agents, they'll tell you that 10 years ago, it was a different kind of person who was coming across. The people that were coming across legitimately were searching for a better life. But now what you're seeing a lot of young men, a lot of people that are not wanting to come into America. They're not wanting to come in here and get better jobs or anything like that. They're coming here for many of them for nefarious purposes. It's not all of them. There's a lot of people who want to be here. But the point is, we don't know who's coming across the border. That's what makes this a national security threat, because of the levels of criminal violence that result, but also because if you don't know who's coming into your country and you can't control your border, you really defeat the very notion of a sovereign nation, and you put your nation at risk. And that's what's happening here. And Tom's right, exactly right. The Democrats know what they're doing.
Well, I think they know what they're doing, but I think you've got some Republicans that want to cater to big business and this idea of cheap labor, which I don't like either, because you know what? We need to get Americans working first. I'm all for immigration, but we've got to be able to vet you, make sure we check your background out, and also you've got to be able to sustain yourself here. I mean, the burden financially on the American taxpayer when it comes to the educational system, healthcare system, and the criminal justice system, I think you know all too well in California, Tom, right?
Well, yes, and we've seen it happen in California and can now project what will happen if the Democrats succeed at the national level. If they're able to rig the election laws, open the borders, pack the Supreme Court, I'm afraid it's game, set, and match for this country. You will have a hardcore socialist agenda. We can see where it ends up. That's Venezuela. California is now walking down that path, and I would ask every business person who's looking at the prospect of cheap labor through open borders to ask themselves, well, fine, how well is it working out for you guys in Venezuela, or for that matter, how are you guys doing in California these days with the highest effective poverty rate in the country?
All right, I got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue more with Congressman McClintock, more with Congressman Biggs on the Sean Hannity Show. News roundup, information overload, Bill O'Reilly at the top of the hour as we continue. All right, as we continue with Congressman McClintock of California, also Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, let me ask you, so there's a guy now that is proposing that he can literally construct a construction company, private company, and he submitted a proposal to finish the president's wall on time for the 2020 election. Now, you might know them, Congressman Biggs. They're Arizona-based. They're called Fisher Industries. And the president of Fisher Industries, Tommy Fisher, is meeting this week with the top Department of Homeland Security officials and Democrats and Republicans to say, hey, you know, you need a contractor to build this border fence as fast as possible without compromising the quality of the fence. And he's saying we can get this done.
Yes, Sean, I do know Tommy, and he's got a fascinating, a patented way to put this fence up. And he's willing to put the fence, pavement, lights, cameras, and he can deliver it for less than what we're hearing is going to cost. He's going to deliver it on time, and he's willing to bond against it, saying if I don't deliver it on time and it's not good quality, boom, you can attach my bond and get your money back. That's how serious. And in fact, when we go to the border in a couple of weeks, and Tom's going to be going with me, we're going to see his process live. I've seen videos of it. It is fascinating, and it is efficient, and it is good.
Wow. Have you heard about this proposal, the fact that he's going to bond it? Now, I guess at this point, what he's offering is, he said his company can build 218 new miles of fencing, 18-foot steel fence, along with paved concrete roads, lighting technology, for $3.285 billion, a fraction of what the president now has and what he requested, the $5.7 billion. Now, you add the other monies available for the $9 billion that will be reallocated, Congressman McClintock, then we've got ourselves a wall and everything else is beefed up as well, and we can hire a bunch of great people.
Well, of course we do, and that shouldn't surprise us. You know, Israel erected a 16 to 24-foot high wall on their southern border with Egypt. They cut illegal immigration by about 99%. That was about a 146-mile wall. They built it for about $2.6 million a mile. You could cover the entire U.S.-Mexico border for less than the president now has available to him at that cost.
Amazing. I hope you guys can get that done. All right. Thank you all for being with us. Congressman Biggs, Congressman McClintock, it's real. Don't listen to the fake, fraudulent, you know, I guess what, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, you know, hoax driving so-called news people, because they just lie, as do their Democratic colleagues. A quick break. Right back. Bill O'Reilly at the top of the next hour.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
In terms of the policies that have not worked and have not actually been what they said they would be, such as that tax bill that was designed to help the top 1% and the biggest corporations in this country, which I intend to repeal on day one.
And yesterday you put out this tweet that we need to abolish the Electoral College. I know that you're supporting an amendment to do that, but the argument against it is that big states would have a whole lot more influence than small states. Are you worried about that?
No, and there's a lot of ways that big states and small states balance power. In fact, every state has two senators, and it doesn't matter if they only have 600,000 people or 20 million people like New York State. You have the same two senators. So you have a very significant influence in legislation and governing and making sure your state has full representation. But I do believe our Constitution is rooted in the notion it's one person, one vote. And for the outcomes of our election not to reflect actually the number of votes received by candidates, it seems really misplaced. So I think we need to look at the Electoral College and we need to reform it. And I really believe it should be one person, one vote.
To answer your question, yes, let's abolish the Electoral College. The night after the presidential election in 2016, Amy and I were talking to each other and we were like, how are we going to explain to Ulysses and Molly and Henry, who are now 12, 10, and 8, that the person who got 3 million more votes just lost the election? Mm-hmm. And then we were talking to each other and we're like, how do we explain that to ourselves? Like, why is this okay? This is one of those bad compromises we made at day one in this country.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour. That was Kamala Harris. Let's get rid of the Trump tax cuts. I'll do it on day one. And then you've got Kirsten Gillibrand and Bozo O'Rourke, Robert Francis Beto Bozo O'Rourke. And, yeah, let's get rid of the Electoral College. In other words, let's let New York, New Jersey, California, and Illinois decide who's going to be president. You know how many states are going to say, see ya, we're out of here. We're not going to allow what you did in those states, the destruction of these states, to happen in our states. So it's this new radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party. Why they have gone this far, you know, not even an abortion debate, infanticide. You know, when the governor of Virginia, well, first we'll deliver the baby, make sure the baby's comfortable, and then we'll let the mother decide. And then we've got, the new Green Deal. Everything is going to be free, but no more oil and gas in 10 years, no combustion engine. And we're also going to get rid of, planes and cows because of flatulence issues. And then, of course, we're going to stack the U.S. Supreme Court. When you really think about it, I know people laugh and people look at me and ask me questions. And say, well, this can't really be true. And I'm like, no, it's real. This is who they are and what they want. Anyway, here to talk about this and much more, Bill O'Reilly, BillO'Reilly.com. He's written 15 books, all of them number one bestsellers. Pretty amazing. And you got a book on Donald Trump coming out entitled The United States of Trump sometime in the fall, right?
September 17th, it looks like, Hannity. If I can bang this thing out by the end of May. So I got about 60-65%.
You know, people don't know you like I do. This is you. September 17th, Hannity. You know, people don't know you the way I know you now.
Yes.
And it's like, people ask me about you all the time now because you come on pretty regularly. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, no. He's just tough, but he's not that tough. He thinks he's
everybody
tough.
Everybody on Long Island calls everybody by their last name because there's dignity in the last name. Guys, and you know this, I mean, Hannity was brought up on Long Island. You go out, hey, how you doing? Look at Smitty over there. Hey, Goldberg, what are you up to?
And it's like Linda grew up in Philly. Like, Linda, for example, for Bill, will you please say coffee? Just so he can hear you.
Coffee.
Say talk radio.
Talk radio.
Say Singapore.
Singapore.
Poor. I mean, it's like, you cannot get it out of people. Anyway.
No, each region, I mean, I used to talk like this. Yeah,
so did I.
Today, huh? I was like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever because my father was from Brooklyn.
So was mine. Where was your father in Brooklyn from? Mine was from Bed-Stuy, and he grew up absolutely, you know, piss poor. He had nothing.
Yeah, my father was on Flatbush Avenue, West Street, in the Irish ghetto. My grandfather was a Brooklyn cop. And, you know, look, we were raised in this let's just let it fly, no PC environment, which has led to the success that you've had and I've had. Because people want straight talk.
We stand on their shoulders, Bill. I mean, when I think of the suffering of my grandparents. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Go ahead. Tell your story. I want to hear.
No, I just and it ties into what you were just talking about, socialism in Levittown, Long Island, but nobody had anything. However, they were willing to work for it. So my father said, you're going to college, all right? You're going. There's no debate about it. You're going because if you go, you're going to be able to compete better in the United States of America. So I went to college. And it was a mobility that was driven by hard work and self-reliance. Was it not? I mean, that's the environment.
Bill, my parents didn't have money for me for college, but I had worked every Friday, Saturday, Sunday when I started working as a dishwasher by hand, no machine. And then a cook, and then a busboy, waiter. I mean, I had my father would come in the middle of the night. I'd come home at 12 after two St. Pauli girls fly home on my bicycle. And no, seriously. And then my father, when I really made money tending the bar, would take 80% of it. I'm like, where's my money? Give me my money. And he was putting it all away for me, which, by the way, ended up sending me to college for the years that I went.
You know, I painted houses in the summertime, and we all did. We all worked. But today it's a different thing because there's a sense of entitlement and victimhood. I mean, so we're all victims, right? There's a new poll out today, and I like this poll. It was a Gallup poll. It said, do you believe in America is have and have nots? And the majority of Americans say, no, we don't believe that. That if you're born into a circumstance where you don't have a lot of money, you can work your way out of that. All right? It is possible if you get educated and you're honest to rise up. And it is. It absolutely is in this country. And the false narrative that these people are throwing out on the progressive left that, no, the government has to do it for you. You can't do it. You're not capable of doing it. It's so arrogant. And to give these people power, it's frightening. It's really a frightening scenario to give the far left power in America.
I mentioned not abortion, but infanticide. Or, you know, if the baby's delivered and will keep the baby comfortable and then the mother can kill the baby, I mean, that would be an individual soul living and breathing on its own, as the Virginia governor said. But think of what they're proposing. And look at this through the prism of your parents and your grandparents, my parents, my grandparents. All four grandparents came from Ireland at the turn of the last century. You know, now they want a 70% top marginal rate for individuals, 90% top corporate rate, and it's going to be guaranteed jobs, guaranteed vacation, guaranteed retirement, guaranteed health care, daycare, guaranteed literally nursery school through college. Now, when you ask them how we're going to pay for that, especially without oil and gas, the lifeblood of our economy, they really can't answer, can they?
Sure they can. They just won't. They're going to confiscate property.
What do you do in the no-spin zone? They're going to steal everything.
Yeah, they're going to confiscate your property. That's the wealth tax. And everybody knows it. That's what they do in socialist countries. They confiscate your stuff that you've already paid taxes on, that you've worked hard to earn. And they're going to take it because that's the only way you could possibly fulfill all these pipe dreams. Pipe dreaming comes from the opium pipe. That, of course, you're seeing hallucinations when you take opium that aren't true. That's what they're peddling. But these people believe it. That's a scary thing. Ocasio-Cortez believes what she says. Sanders, I'm not so sure. I mean, I think this is just a big reality show for Bernie Sanders.
I don't think so.
I could be wrong, but he can't be that dense.
No, I think he's that dense. I believe that.
I don't know. He's been around. He's a Brooklyn guy. Went up to Vermont. He's a calculator. He's got a big house on Lake Champlain. He doesn't live the life of a socialist. He spouts all this stuff because he knows it gets him attention. I'm not so sure that he's a true believer like many of the others are. I know that 80% of the Democratic field for president are not true believers. It's all posing. And the one who wouldn't cooperate with any of it is Biden, and you see what's happening to Biden. The playbook comes out. I wrote a column called Biden Your Time on BillO'Reilly.com. I hope everybody goes in to read it. It's free, and it basically lays out that the progressives don't want Biden, and they're going to destroy him.
You know,
and this is how they do it.
But it's deeper. Biden, we just had on John Solomon, and Biden's son was flying all over the world. I've had Peter Schweitzer on. And as we dig deeper into Biden, beyond the whole creepy, I don't like people getting in my personal space. I hate it. And I don't like people that just feel that they're entitled to go rub somebody in the back of their neck and offer them a massage. And you know, I'll let other people decide what they're comfortable with. And now four people have come out against him. I believe in due process, so I have no idea what's true or not. Let me go back to this wealth tax thing, though. 15 European countries have tried it. All but four got rid of it. I could guarantee you, if we go to a 70% top marginal rate and a 90% corporate rate,
that collapses the economy.
In a year, it's over. In
we
1 year.
Compete.
Guaranteed.
Look, I recommend to everybody who wants to really know what the truth is, you know, the truth is important, even though the mainstream media in America does not seek it any longer, the truth is important. There are two American cities, and Chicago will be the third now that they've elected this mayor who is very, very far left. But there are two American cities that are totally run by far left progressives, San Francisco and Seattle. They're both falling apart. I mean falling apart visually. You can walk down the street and see what the philosophy of the government will take care of you leads to. Because the government won't take care of you. All right? You have to take care of yourself. And if you can't, you're going to fail. Whether you're in a communist nation, a socialist nation, or a capitalist nation. You go to Seattle, you go to San Francisco, and you look and see. Is this what you want?
I've been all over the country like you have.
To be critical mass here in America, people are going to have to make a decision to rise up against this pernicious movement and to speak out against it.
All right, let me ask this. So now you have Beto, Bozo, Robert Francis. You've got Elizabeth Warren who wants the wealth tax. You got Kamala that doesn't want any private health insurance. But they all seem to agree on these two things. Get rid of and abolish the Electoral College and stack the Supreme Court. The Electoral College, that if you abolish that, that would mean New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, Oregon will decide the president every 4 years.
Yeah, the Electoral College is a con, and their founding fathers are very wise because they knew at the time the Constitution was drawn up that New York, Boston, and Philadelphia dominated the country, and you just couldn't have people elected from three cities. And that's why the Electoral College came into being. Now, it's California, New York, Texas, and Florida, and Illinois, those five states. So if you can turn them all red, the conservatives would win. If you turn them all blue, the liberals would win. Five states out of 50. Now, what this immigration border thing is all about, and again, no one will tell you this, but this is the truth, is to turn Texas blue. And if you look at the Beto O'Rourke, Ted Cruz, Cruz won by about 200,000 votes. Not a lot. And if you look at the precincts in Texas, considered a conservative state, all of the precincts dominated by Hispanic Americans vote Democrat, all of them. And if they can flood the zone into Texas, the progressives, by an open border policy and chain migration, you can turn Texas.
So
Florida has been turned. Now, Florida is a battleground state. That is what is going on with the immigration. Turn the states blue. And then when you get that, get rid of the Electoral College and we can elect a president, we, the progressive left, based on five states. That's what's happening.
Pretty chilling. And my guess would be that a lot of the other states that are read are not going to want to remain in the United States, which, by the way, our framers in their infinite wisdom predicted as well. All right, Bill O'Reilly, thank you. BillO'Reilly.com, 15 number one best-selling books, and he has his daily podcast there every day as well. Bill, thanks for being with us.
You're Sean. I'm calling you Sean.
O'Reilly, thanks for being with us. All right, brother, thank you. 800-941-SEAN, right. Toll-free telephone number. As we continue, Hannity tonight at 9, we will go forward straight ahead. Linda's got something on her mind. We'll find out what that is next. 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program. All right, so Linda got really creeped out earlier in the program today, but it's all true. I don't make this stuff up. I mean, it's actually out in a book. And this was 2014. I had forgotten all about this. Wasn't there, I guess it was Al Gore. It wasn't Biden. I know, but that had a masseuse problem, right? Or something?
Yeah, we could call it a problem, sure.
We can call it a problem, sure. Well, an accusation, which, by the way, due process, presumption of innocence, all that. There's another good reason not to go to a masseuse, by the way. I don't want to be touched by a stranger.
People were freaked out by my story yesterday.
Which one?
Where my masseuse got naked. And then I rolled over, and he was there in all of his God-given glory.
So we're like we slow down the kisses and the grabs and the touching and the fondling on TV. And I got to tell you, it's freaking people out. People are writing, oh, stop. Oh.
Well, specifically with the kids. I mean, it's gross all across the board, but the kids
are weird. We're not even showing that one.
Other networks are.
Yeah, but we pixel out if there's any kids all the time. You don't want to drag kids into this. But it happened. I mean, the pictures are all over the place. You're right. But anyway, you got this Ronald Kessler. Now, Ronald Kessler's a well-known author. We've had him on the program before. You know, you look at his background and his experience and the first family detail, you know, which he wrote. Well, he goes on to tell the story about agents that were upset that at his home in Delaware, Mr. Amtrak, Crazy Uncle Joe.
Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe.
I'm never going to get sick of that.
Has a habit of swimming in the nude in his pool. Anyway, female Secret Service agents find that offensive. Well,
see, that's wrong. And here's why.
What's wrong?
Because when you swim in the nude, also known as your natural.
Slow down. I don't swim at all. My days of going in the pool when my kids got old enough to go in by themselves and I didn't have to throw them around like a...
We have two champion swimmers here. Katie.
Right.
And Ethan. Katie's ready to have a heart attack because I'm talking about her on the air.
Ethan, you ever swim naked or what?
No.
No.
Okay, that's not my point.
Because everyone is offended.
That's not my point. My point is that when you are naked, you get a little bit more speed. So maybe he was exercising. Ethan is frowning upon this.
No, she's saying this just for shock value. Stop. You don't believe that.
The swimsuits now lessen the drag.
That's right, the drag.
So I would encourage people to wear the swimsuits.
I don't know anything about the drag.
Well, what it means is it helps you sort of, it's almost like they coat it with like a dolphin.
Yeah, they used to call it shark skin material. It is actually more water repellent than your skin.
Well, who is the, I'm not talking.
Phelps?
Yeah, Michael Phelps. I mean, you watch these guys. I mean, they put it, it's like a full uniform that they have on. It covers their whole body. He's an amazing swimmer, too. I mean, I can't believe. Do you know how hard it is to shave off just seconds of your time? Seriously?
You know, there were so many places I thought you were going with that comment. As we talk about all these inappropriate things in the final half hour of the show.
No, I mean. To get seconds off your time, you have to spend hours and hours. Now, here's a quick story about my growing up, just to share with everybody.
Is it about shaving?
No. So my three older sisters were all AAU swimmers. They won every weekend. They were really, really good. Sweet Baby James, my brother-in-law, his wife was and still is an amazing swimmer. One of his kids is an amazing swimmer, was a lifeguard. Anyway, my parents, I like baseball, ice hockey, football, basketball, baseball. That's all I cared about. And so my mother had this idea that I was going to be a swimmer. I remember it was the middle of winter. It's freezing cold out. And so I go and they had different levels. Lane number one of the good swimmers. Lane number two of the, you know, moderately good. The last lane is my lane. And I swim there. and back. I could swim. I can do freestroke, breaststroke. I still can't get my arms up to do butterfly. I have no, it's like a feat from God to get those legs to kick like that. I can't do it. I've tried it many times. People try to teach me. My sister, James's wife, she's amazing at butterfly. You know, it's, I mean, that takes, I just had never learned how to do it. So anyway, I swim there and back, and the guy goes, no, no, you got to keep going. And I'm like, I'm not keeping going. I'm like, this is stupid. Then I start doing can openers and cannonballs, and I do splash
poor
diving.
Lillian. Poor Lillian.
Poor Lillian. And so anyway, then all of us got in so much trouble. It was the greatest, the dumbest decision ever. Then they threw us into the diving pool, which was next door. And we're like on the high dive, and we're doing more cannonballs, more diving, more. There is a moment in everybody's life where you're on the high dive. I'll never forget the moment. I was like 3-4 years old. My mom's like, get on the high dive. Like, you go get on the high dive. Fine, I'll go get on the high dive. And she wanted me to dive, not jump. I would jump off anything. And I'm like looking down and I'm saying, oh, sugar here. And I just stand there for a while. And I just said, the hell with it. And I dove. And it kind of hurts your head the first few times you do it. Doesn't feel great. And then I like diving. I had somebody teaching me how to do flips. I never was great at it, but I was okay at it. You know, I could do like a 1.5 somersault into the water and land on my back and you hear, pow! I had that happen to me too. That's not fun. You know, when you're spinning around, I don't know how these guys keep track. You watch the Olympics and they're, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom. And then you got to land in the water and not make a splash. I'm like, oh, there's too much. And you're sitting at home thinking you're so good at judging this. Nah, that splash was way too high. No, he didn't go in completely vertical. Meanwhile, I was lucky if I didn't land flat on my back because there was no telling where. I'm like, one and, you know, you just do it. Boom. And it was not, that was my time. But I, and anyway, so, and I said to my mother when she picks us up, I'm like, Mom, I want to get the chicken soup and the coffee. They sold like a machine that sold coffee and tea and chicken broth. I'm like, and she's like, no, you
sorry,
wouldn't.
What was that? Coffee, tea, and chicken broth.
Yeah, no, you could get chicken broth out of the coffee maker, which
what
was.
What kind of coffee maker is this? That's disgusting.
You never saw one of those? No, you put in money. It's like you see them at ice
cream. So then the remnants
the
of the chicken broth is in your coffee.
Yeah. No. So you could either get coffee or you could get chicken broth or you can get tea.
Does it come out of the same dispenser?
At the time, you put 50 cents in. You press which one you want. Do you want sugar? Do you
must have been hitting that water really hard not to taste the difference.
Well, no, it was great. It's so salty. So my mother, after she found out that I spent the entire time in the diving pool and was, quote, uncooperative and refused to do more than 2 laps. Now, by the way, this session goes on for 2 freaking hours. And I'm looking at all these people swimming and I'm like, this is not fun.
Just doing a lap isn't that big of a deal, even.
Excuse me.
Hey, we used
speak
to
for
do,
yourself.
We used to do a lap with 10 push-ups at each end, and you do it for 40 times. So you do 400 push-ups by the end of that
okay.
one rep.
And why you ever accepted that as a sport or fun is beyond me. Now, I admire people like my sisters that could swim, but I couldn't swim. I didn't want it. It's boring.
I don't know how to swim.
You don't know how to swim at all?
No. So last year.
Last year.
I
by
learned,
the way, Linda's a new homeowner.
Yeah, so I have
and
this
you have
home,
a pool,
and I have a pool, and I have a 3-year-old. So right. I'm like, oh
yeah.
My God.
By the way, that and you still
it's
didn't take my
in.
Advice.
What's the advice?
You got to get the elephant cover.
I have it.
Oh,
I
you do have
I
it.
Got it.
It's a cover that's automatic. You press a button.
Oh no, I have people that come and that's automatic. And
No. Yeah, every day when the kids get out of the pool, I press a button. It would cover the entire pool.
No, it's got a fence.
Okay, the fence is not enough.
It's got a locked fence. They cannot get in.
Did you ever see a kid go after a cookie? They're going to figure out a way to get the cookie.
Listen, my son is big. He's not squeezing through that fence, and he's too short to climb over it. And by the time he's tall enough, I won't have to worry about
he's
it.
He's
going to
get a ladder. I'm telling you, if he's anything
oh
like
God.
I was.
I need to sleep tonight. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Anyways, right. I learned how to swim a little bit last year. I can do the 3.5, 4 foot. I like it where it doesn't touch my hair. I'm very good at sitting by the pool. I've perfected that.
By the way, that's another thing I can't stand.
Sitting by the pool?
Yeah. Oh, so we'd go to this, a couple of years, my parents didn't want me hanging out with the kids in the neighborhood half the time.
Can't imagine why.
But so they sent me to this Young Travelers Day Camp, and Young Travelers Day Camp would go to Jones Beach, really Zacks Bay. That was kind of cool because We play softball all day, and I go fishing all day. We catch mackerel with lures. I'd be pulling them in all day, see how many, who can catch 100 that day. So we had a good time. But then, like, if my family was there and we go to the beach, everyone just lays out in the sun. And I'm looking at
you. Okay, first of all, I never said I was laying in the sun. I said I lay by the pool in full clothing with sunblock. I'm see-through pale. That's not an option.
No, that's true. It's beyond see-through pale.
I'm so pale.
And so am I. So so the funny thing is, I cannot to this day understand how people, and I love being near the water. Like, for example, when we go to the beach with the kids when you're young, and if we're not playing beach football, if we're not playing, oh, I'll throw the ball to Patrick, you dive in the water and I'll throw it and you have to make a diving catch. If it wasn't that, how you can sit there all day like people do, and I'd watch them. They'd be there morning, noon, and night sitting in the sun. And they're like, oh, this is so relaxing. I'd rather blow my brains out than get relaxed.
I completely agree with you. The first time I ever sat by a pool, because I can't swim that good, was last year because I have a little one and he was in the pool. So, you know, then I was there with him.
But you let him swim for an hour. I mean.
Oh, no. He'll stay in there for 4 hours. He loves it.
That's the point. You say enough's enough. Get out. I'm done watching you.
Oh, no.
I'm done sitting.
It is perfect. This makes every child exhausted. I love it.
Well, I used to have to play alligator with my kids when they were young.
What is alligator?
And well, then I would be the mean alligator, and I'd catch them, and then I'd thrash them back and, you know, like crazy. I couldn't thrash my son enough. More.
I know. Boys, they just can't get enough.
I just said the harder I thrashed him, the more he's laughing. My daughter, I'd thrash her like to the littlest. You know, terrible.
Poor MK.
And then, but she wanted to be like her brother, so I tried to do it. I'm like, all right, you ready? And so this one house we once had a hill. Remember that, sweet baby? All right, it would snow on the hill. So we'd take like, not a sleigh, but like a flying saucer hill.
Yeah, it's like a little dish.
Like a little dish. You sit in the dish. And it would be perfect because you go down the hill and then there was like enough room to land and you'd go right up to the fence. It wouldn't be a problem. Problem is when you have fresh snow and you do it, it gets in the kid's face because I'm behind them. Yeah, that didn't go over well when they were young either.
My little guy did that for the first time this year. We have a little hill in the backyard, and me and him and the dog, and he's in the saucer, and this kid can't get enough. The snow's all in his face, the ice, he's freezing. He's like, "Mar, this is great." I'm like, "What's wrong with you?"
Wait till you get to the Disney trips.
Oh God.
Sweet baby, how many Disney trips did we go on?
It's Disney, by the way. There's no it in there. It's not Disney. It's Disney.
Whatever. Oh, we remember ABC Disney on my show. Remember this radio show when we started? That didn't last long.
I know, it's unfortunate. I had such good benefits for Disney World.
I didn't. No, they would want me to broadcast from there once a year. And it was the most uncomfortable thing every year because.
Well, you heard what they did now, right?
What?
They've banned people from wearing President Trump, any sort of support of President Trump in the park. You're not allowed to wear it. The guy came in wearing a MAGA hat. They threw him out, and they have a rule now in their park that you cannot support President Trump
outwardly
on your clothing. Oh, I'm sure they love her. She can ride all the rides for free.
Come on, you're kidding me.
I swear. I'll never go there now.
Now, they would give me the trip, and I'd go, and the kids loved it. But, I mean, it was. And then they'd say, but you just have to do one little interview with some character, and I'd be like Mickey Mouse. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great radio. This is going to really make...
It's actually fun, though, right? What'd you ask him? You ask him his political opinions?
Yeah, we'd mess around and do stuff like that just to make it fun.
I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that didn't go over particularly well. Then those trips were stopped for some mysterious reason. We even did it aboard the maiden voyage of one of their cruise ships, which was horrible. Being on a cruise ship, to me, is the most claustrophobic thing on earth. But I have people, you know, Mike Myers. Mike Myers goes on a million cruises. I'm like, why do you like the cruising? He just does. He loves it. And the food is off the hook. Now, I did enjoy one experience on a cruise ship when I went up to Canada, met the ship, and stayed on the ship for 24 hours and did a couple of shows with Michael W. Smith and then flew right home.
Yeah, that's not called a cruise.
No,
called a pop-in.
No, we stayed up all night with veterans and one
No,
guy,
it was an awesome experience. I was here when you did that. It was awesome.
It was
but
amazing.
But that's not a cruise.
For me, that was about as long as I wanted to be out at sea.
Well, you had your MyPillow, so that's all that mattered.
I did, and I have it right now. That's going to wrap things up for today. All right, a busy and great Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. The battle over the border. We're going to get to the battle over your corrupt media. And the cascading, holding them accountable. Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes tonight. Also, Lawrence Jones down at the border. A lot of action going on there down there today. And we'll get to that. Lara Logan and Joe Concha and Geraldo. It's going to be a big night. And John Solomon and his breaking news story. 9 Eastern, Hannity Fox. We'll see you then back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.